Some farmers say a full-blown crisis like they went through in the mid-1980s is imminent. Others believe it's only a moderate downturn, part of a cycle all segments of the economy go through. Brian Rumsdahl farms near Butterfield in southwest Minnesota.
The farm economy is pretty dismal right now with the current prices of both corn and soybeans.
He blames the 1996 Farm Bill, known as Freedom to Farm, for the gloomy indicators.
I don't have a very rosy picture of, the future if this is kind of the precedence.
Rumsdahl believes Freedom to Farm has launched the agricultural economy on a damaging cycle of overproduction. By eventually ending government payments and leaving farmers on their own, the legislation forces farmers, not the government, to decide how much grain they grow. That may sound like a no-brainer, but for more than 60 years until Freedom to Farm passed, the government was involved in deciding how much grain a farmer produced. Rumsdahl says the system wasn't perfect, but it held down production when elevators overflowed with grain, helping prop up prices. He says left on their own, farmers will do what comes naturally, grow as much as they can.
When you have bumper crops, well, if it truly is a supply and demand market and you're supplying more than what the demand is, it's financial suicide.
Call it that or call it free enterprise with all the risks that system contains. Southwest Minnesota farmer David Rowe says Freedom to Farm may be painful, but it's necessary.
There's an argument that we don't subsidize the hardware store owner or the small manufacturer. Why should we subsidize the person involved in production agriculture?
But Rowe also sees gloomy days ahead. He says a race is underway as farmers position themselves for the end of federal payments in 2002. To make up that lost income and pay the rising cost of fertilizer, machinery, and seed, Rowe says most farmers have come to the same conclusion.
They know that they're going to have to farm more acres to spread those tremendous production expenses over more acres, the machinery costs especially.
He says that scenario will hit small farmers hardest since they're less able to assume the debt required to buy land.
Those who adapt to the change the best will be farming, and those of us who don't won't be farming.
With almost all major farm commodities in a price tailspin, Rowe says this year may be a preview of the future. With no government controls, overproduction could be a recurring problem. That assumes, of course, that government actually gets out of farming.
Nothing is ever locked into place when it comes to Congress, and especially agriculture.
University of Minnesota professor Seaford Runge. Runge says it's implausible, even laughable, to believe government will stay the course and end most payments to farmers after 2002. He says our congressional system almost guarantees federal involvement.
The fact is that if you have a substantial number of farmers in your congressional district, you see it properly as your job to respond to their concerns, to suggest that they would have nothing to do in these areas simply goes against the nature of the political beast.
Runge says while it's true farm state representatives make up a small part of Congress, they and the farm interests who lobby them are well organized. Farmers, in fact, have won several major victories recently, including the extension of the ethanol credit. Runge says the economic rumbles just starting in farm country will be heard in Congress.
Now that the prospect of weaker prices and some additional weakness in the export markets is evident, that Congress will be forced to think through what sort of safety net they can devise. But that kind of discussion has only been behind the scenes, and nothing has been brought forward of a substantial sort that I know of to date.
A major consideration Congress must consider is the importance of farm exports. Right now, an economic downturn in Asia is causing big problems for U.S. agriculture. As farmers work their fields in the Midwest, their market is the world, much of it beyond the reach of the Freedom to Farm Act. This is Mark Stile, Main Street Radio.